Morning Watch, Romans, Week 2, Romans 5 through Romans 8, Wednesday, Related Verses, Romans 6, 3 through 5, 11 through 14, 19 through 22. Or are you ignorant that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death? We have been buried, therefore, with him through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, so also we might walk in newness of life. For if we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, indeed we will also be in the likeness of his resurrection. 11 through 14. So also you reckon yourselves to be dead to sin, but living to God in Christ Jesus. Do not let sin therefore reign in your mortal body, so that you obey the body's lusts. Neither present your members as weapons of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as alive from the dead, and your members as weapons of righteousness to God. For sin will not lord it over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. 19 through 22. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you presented your members as slaves to uncleanness and lawlessness unto lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness unto sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free with regard to righteousness. What fruit then did you have at that time? Things of which you are now ashamed, for the end of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you have your fruit unto sanctification, and the end, eternal life. Related reading. Since all were born in Adam, how can we say that we are now in Christ? In Romans 6:3, Paul says, "Are you ignorant that as many of us as have been baptized into Christ Jesus have been baptized into his death?" Although we were born in the first person, Adam, we have been baptized into the second person, Christ. How pitiful it is for Christians to argue about the outward form of baptism. Some dispute about the kind of water used, and some argue about the method of baptism. Baptism means to be put into Christ and into his death. Whether we were good or bad, we were born in Adam. Now we see another man, Christ. How can we get into him and be part of him? The way is to be baptized into Christ. The meaning of baptism is to put people into Christ. It is not a ritual or a form. It is an extremely significant experience. A spiritual transfer must happen in the act of baptism. And if we do not have a realization of this, we should not touch the matter of baptism. Never baptize people in a ritualistic way. We must have the assurance and the realization that as we baptize people, we are putting them into Christ. Once we realize the significance of baptism, we will not allow it to degenerate into an outward form or ritual. Baptism is an act in which we put the members of Adam into death, thereby transferring them out of Adam and into Christ. People are baptized into Christ. Even the King James Version used the word into in Romans 6:3. How people have missed the mark regarding baptism in their divisive arguments about forms and methods. Whenever we baptize people, we only care that we put them into Christ. It is awful to perpetuate a ritual, but it is wonderful to baptize people into Christ. Praise the Lord that we have been baptized into Christ. Although we were born in Adam, by baptism, we have been identified with Christ in his death and resurrection. Through death and resurrection, Christ was transfigured from the flesh into the spirit. Even Christ himself needed death and resurrection to transform him from the flesh to the spirit. Likewise, through identification with Christ in his death and resurrection, we have been transferred out of Adam and into Christ. When we were baptized into Christ, we were transferred from being a part of Adam into being a part of Christ. Now we are no longer in Adam. We are absolutely in Christ. This is the fact of identification. Now we must see and understand clearly two further points related to this. Romans 6:5 says that we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death. What does this mean? The phrase likeness of his death in Romans 6:5 refers to baptism. Baptism is the likeness of the death of Christ. In baptism, we have grown up together with Christ. This phrase, grown together, affords the translators a difficult problem. However, if we stay very close to the meaning of the Greek word, there will be no difficulty. The same Greek word is used in Luke 8:7 to speak of the thorns which grew up together with the wheat. Likewise, we have grown together with Christ. When we were baptized into Christ, in one sense we were put to death. In another sense, we began to grow. This very much resembles the sowing of seed into the earth. Apparently, the seed is sown. Actually, it begins to grow. By being baptized into Christ, we have all grown together with Christ in the likeness of his death. Since we have grown together with him in the likeness of his death, we are now growing together with him. We have grown, yet we are growing. We also are growing together with Christ in the likeness of his resurrection. What is the likeness of his resurrection? It is the newness of life. We all should walk in this newness of life. We all must see these two points. We must see that we have grown together with Christ in baptism, and that we grow together with him in the likeness of his resurrection, that is, in the newness of his resurrected life. If we see this, it means that we see that we have died with him, and that now we are growing with him. We were buried with him in baptism, and now we are growing with him in his resurrection, in his divine life. We must walk according to what we see, that is, walk in the newness of life. Furthermore, we need to present ourselves and our members as slaves to God. If we present ourselves to God as slaves and our members as weapons of righteousness, we will be sanctified spontaneously. This means that we take sides with the resurrected Christ who dwells within us as life. We stand with this eternal life. In this way, we give the eternal life the opportunity to work within us, to separate us from everything common, and to sanctify us. The result of this presentation is sanctification. This is the order of our experience. We see, we reckon, we present ourselves to God, we reject sin, and we cooperate with God. We must reject sin, for it still dwells within our fallen body. Do not cooperate with sin any longer. Reject sin and cooperate with God. Do not be so spiritual that you become passive and cease to do anything at all. Passivity is dreadful. If you are passive, you will be cheated and deceived. We should be neither passive nor too active, since neither our passivity nor our activity is of any value. What then should we do? We must see the facts, reckon ourselves dead to sin and alive to God, present our members and ourselves to God, reject sin, and cooperate with God. We should not do anything on our own. Do not try to love your wife or submit to your husband. Do not try to be humble or kind. However, you need to reject sin. When sin comes to you with a proposal, you must say, "Sin, depart from me. I have nothing to do with you." Do not let sin continue to lord it over you. This means that you reject sin and turn to God and say, "Lord, I am your slave. I want to cooperate with you. Whether or not I love my wife, it is up to you. In the matter of loving, I want to cooperate with you. I want to be your slave. Whatever you do, I will follow you and cooperate with you." Do not be passive or active. Simply reject sin and cooperate with God. If you do this, you will not only be righteous, but also sanctified. You will undergo an inward dispositional change. The issue of sanctification is life eternal. Thus, Romans 8 follows Romans 6. Romans 6 concludes with sanctification unto eternal life. Romans 8 begins with the Spirit of life. Do not ask me where to put Romans 7. Although this chapter is in the Bible and cannot be deleted, it can be eradicated from our experience. We may leap from the end of Romans 6 to the beginning of Romans 8. What the Apostle Paul means in Romans 6 is that, on the one hand, we are in the fact of having been crucified and resurrected with Christ, and that on the other hand, we have the divine life. The fact that we have been crucified and resurrected with Christ has transferred us out of Adam into Christ. The divine life enables us to live a sanctified life. We need to see that we have been transferred. Based upon our seeing, we reckon ourselves as such by believing. Then we need to cooperate with the divine life by rejecting sin and by presenting ourselves and our members to God. We do have a position to reject sin. For now we are not under law, but under grace. Sin has no ground, no right to make any claims upon us. But instead, we, standing under grace, have the full right to reject sin and its power. At the same time, by taking sides with Christ, we present ourselves and our members as slaves to God, that the divine life may work within us to sanctify us, not only positionally, but also dispositionally, with the holy nature of God. As a summary, we may say that we have all been baptized into Christ. By being baptized into Him, we have been identified with Him in His death and resurrection. We have grown together with Him in His death and are now growing together with Him in His resurrection life. We see that we are dead to sin and alive to God, and reckon it so in our heavenly accounting book. Based upon this reckoning, we present ourselves as slaves to God and our members as weapons of righteousness. This affords the opportunity for the divine life within us to do its sanctifying work. Then we learn to reject sin and to cooperate with God. The result of it all is sanctification, which ends with eternal life. Praise the Lord.